I call the Environment and Natural Resources Policy and Finance Committee to order. Members, we do have a quorum. Representative Nelson, have you had time to look at the minutes?
Yes, I have, Chair Heinzman, and I would move the minutes from the February 20th meeting.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. We have a motion to approve the minutes from February 20th. Any changes or suggestions? All right, thank you, members. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, on the agenda for today, we have the Keep It Clean bill and the LCCMR forthcoming. We're starting with the Keep It Clean bill. Representative Myers, if you are ready to start, I will move your bill. Since you're not a member of the committee, I would move that House File 1120 be laid over for possible inclusion in a future bill. And Representative Myers, if you would like to introduce yourself for the record and go ahead and start, you may.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Lead Fisher. My name is Andrew Myers. I represent 11 cities over in the Lake Minnetonka area. Last session, we had a great bipartisan support for an initiative called the Keep It Clean, which now enforces our litter laws on frozen lakes. And we've seen a dramatic impact in the reduction of garbage going into our waters. This is a follow-up bill to that is going to request grant funding for local units of government, organizations to help improve their management and programs to remove garbage, making it easier for our local communities to improve and support clean water. Today, I do have one testifier with me. I would ask all the members to look at your packet. I think there's a good amount of support for this. And I do want to say thank you. This has been a good, bipartisan effort. Representative Jordan, thank you for co-authoring this, as well as Representative Faulkner and Chair Heinzman. I really appreciate your support on this as well. I'll let my testifier.
Well, good afternoon, Honorable Chair Heinzman and committee members. My name is Robin Dwight. I'm the president of the Upper Red Lake Area Association and a member of the Keep It Clean Coalition. And I thank you for your time today. So if you get outdoors in Minnesota in the spring, summer, or fall, you will notice the thousands of lakes, rivers, parks, trails, recreation areas, forests, campgrounds, resorts, wildlife areas, beaches, and picnic areas enjoyed by the public and managed and protected by state agencies with help from local governments, lake associations, and NGOs. If you are fortunate enough to stay overnight on state waters and in state parks in an RV, a houseboat, or other shelter of your choosing, you're required to follow rules for where and how to set up your camp, how to manage your garbage and waste. In a nutshell, your shared outdoor experience is a privilege, and protecting it for future generations is required. Not so for Minnesotans' ice belt. Since the popularity of ice fishing, winter camping, and recreation has exploded in the last decade, the Keep It Clean Coalition has seen an increase in leftovers of human activity on and around frozen public waters. Volunteers have worked tirelessly to bring awareness to a problem that should not exist and help our fellow humans to change their attitudes and careless habits. We have a new litter on ice law. That's a start, but it's not enough. The state invests our tax dollars to make public places more enjoyable and more accessible. Minnesota's economy is strongly reliant on people getting out more, and there is an expectation that users, through fees and taxes, share the costs. Nothing in this world is free. We believe that rather than go into hibernation, leaving the management of human leftovers and cleanup efforts to local communities, state agencies must take the lead in educating the public, providing resources, and implementing the same regulations for activities on ice as they do for public lands and waters during ice out activities. You would never leave your bags of trash or camp toilet leftovers to pollute campsites, parks, or trails. You would never accept human or pet excrement on your picnic grounds. We all pay dearly to use state lands and waters, and we are proud to be good stewards. I'm asking respected House members to extend management and protection of our shared resources to the ice belt. The disconnect needs to be fixed. We can't manage and protect our natural resources three seasons of the year while disregarding what goes on during winter months on our frozen lakes and waters. We must acknowledge that people travel to enjoy winter experiences and then stay for extended amounts of time far from our homes and our constituencies to have unique outdoor experiences that are ingrained in Minnesota's Constitution. Please support House File 1120 and establish a statewide Keep It Clean program, ensuring the professional management and community resources needed to protect and preserve Minnesota's prized public waters. Ice is water, and we must work together to keep it clean. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Myers, I think I have a number of others that have signed up to testify. Would you like them to come now?
Yeah, if people have signed up, I don't know if there's other people from the public as well. Thank you.
I should excuse Joe Henry was invited, and then we determined that one testimony would be okay. So Joe Henry will not be testifying.
Thank you for that. So the next testifier that I had, I think, was Tom Johnson, MPCA, Government Relations Director. If Tom, you wanted to make your way forward. Tom, if you had any, excuse me, Director, if you have any questions today, feel free to, or comments today, feel free to share.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Tom Johnson, Government Relations Director for the MPCA. Want to thank you for the opportunity to testify on House File 1120. This is not the governor's bill, but just want to express that the MPCA is supportive of this work. The problem of an improper disposal of human and solid waste is a real problem and is growing, although we do recognize the efforts of the coalition and the program have had a real impact. So appreciate the work of this bill and expanding the program. The exact logistics of this are challenging to figure out, but it's a worthwhile initiative and appreciate the author for bringing the bill forward. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. I'll just quickly ask if there was anybody else in the audience today that wanted to testify. Otherwise, I would start before that if Assistant Commissioner Bob Myers would like to make a few comments. Assistant Commissioner, if you would state your name for the record, you know the drill.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Myers, Assistant Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources. We are here to offer support to this bill as we have in the past. As an avid ice angler myself, I do see the impacts and I see the benefits of this bill and the work that these folks have been doing and what it is changing the perception and behavior out there. So we would like to see it move forward and provide additional resources. Thank you.
Commissioner, did I see something earlier this last week? Were you actually on a lake? Did you catch something?
Mr. Chairman, I was up on Leech Lake this weekend, perch fishing.
Perch fishing. That's fantastic.
I had a great time. But you see the difference in anglers. They no longer leave bags on the ice. They use buckets. They use trash cans. They are not going to the bathroom on the ice anymore, as far as I can see. And it's made a big difference. And the billboards and the public education campaign also was very effective. So.
Thank you, Commissioner. I did mention that if there were others in the audience that might have some, might want to testify today, I was going to open it up to testimony. Not seeing any other folks wanting to, so members, I'd open it up. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I know I signed on last year. What are the results? It sounds like this has been successful, so I don't know who is quantifying, or I see the map of the participating lakes or COLAs or counties, but if you can add a little more context, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Representative Myers, or your testifier, Ms. Dwight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Our Keep It Clean Coalition began about 3 years ago, and after a huge education and awareness campaign, we also developed a website, and through that website, we have invited people to join our coalition. It's not a 501c3, it's just a group of volunteers. We have, as of today, 60 members representing over 10,000 lakes, according to our calculations. We try to be accurate, and that number is growing all the time. We most recently put out a survey, it's a very brand new survey, to find out if wheelhouse users actually do need more resources. We should have done it a long time ago, but we've been busy. So hopefully the results will really give some important data about the real need for infrastructure in northern Minnesota. So we meet once a month, we do all kinds of campaigns and public outreach, and where I live at Upper Red Lake, we have a one-of-a-kind waste removal program that's funded through grants and community participation, and we provide waste dumpsters so that human waste can be separated from garbage and trash once fisher people and recreationists leave the lake. When they get to shore, they're able to separate that waste so that the businesses don't have their waste contaminated, which they pay to have hauled. And so our program is supporting the separation and the removal, the illegal removal of human waste, which is an unfortunate byproduct of ice fishing in a lot of cases.
Representative Purcell. Oh, excuse me. Oh, Representative Myers.
Sorry, Chair.
I didn't notice that you had a comment there. Sorry
to miss
you.
Representative Purcell, thanks for the question. I live close to Lake Minnetonka. I've been out there quite a bit. Actually, like the assistant commissioner said, I think I've seen a dramatic impact. We're getting close to that time of year with especially this warmer weather where we're going to see these wheelhouses being pulled off. And I'm hopeful I don't see as many pictures on the DNR social media where when those are pulled out, everybody has left their garbage. So I think the purpose of this bill is to be able to start that program. So we're probably going to get more feedback to see how many hopefully tons and tons of garbage is, being disposed of correctly.
Thank you, Representative Purcell. All right. Members, any other questions on this bill? Lead Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Heinzman and Representative Myers. It's a good bill that you've got brought up here. The question I have, do you have an idea what the dollar amounts are that would be needed to make an impact here?
Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Lead Fisher. We have two bills. One of those bills does have a fee of $10 for a wheelhouse to be added on, I believe. Mm-hmm. This one is asking for general fund dollars. We want to work with the committee. We know the fiscal constraints that we're in. I mean, if it's an ideal year, or an ideal situation, maybe it's, a million or two. But again, I think those are conversations that I want to work with you guys to ensure we can start this program, because I think we're going to be able to really demonstrate, what we're accomplishing here.
Lead Fisher.
Thank you, Chair Heinzman, and thank you, Representative Myers. And the reason I'm asking is because I know that you folks will be happy with what comes for an allocation here. I was trying to figure out what the need might be, because we're not always necessarily able to meet the need, I know, but at the same time, it's nice to know what is that need and actual cost is, so that when future requests come through, we know did we get 5% of the need, 50% of the need, this is why, and that's why I'm just trying to get an idea for that reference point, not knowing that we're not going to meet the need, but it'd be nice to know what that need is.
Lead Fisher, that's, I think, part of why we're laying the bill over, right, is because we'd like to give it a minute just to figure out what the funding mechanism should be. So I'm glad we were able to talk a little bit about the second bill to make sure that we have a couple of options, because this is really critical that we get this done. It's obviously developing need as we see the popularity of this style of angling exploding and see in some cases thousands of wheelhouses on the lakes, which is on one hand great, on the other we want to make sure that we do like the bill title says. So any other questions, members? All right, final thoughts, Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this bill, like last time, has something for everybody. I mean, you know, if you want to protect clean water, this is the bill for you. If you want to protect, you know, our fisheries and wildlife, this is for you. And if you want to protect the, you know, billions of dollars of tourism that, you know, is generated from our lakes, I think this bill's for you. So I'd ask members for your support and always open for future conversations from anybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Myers. And I will, at this time, renew my motion that House File 1120 be laid over. The bill is laid over. Yes. So next we have my LCCMR bill, the recommendations. So I am going to turn over the chair to Vice Chair Burkle.
All right, Chair Heisman, would you like to move your bill to get it before the committee?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 1218 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay, we have the bill before us, Chair Heisman. Tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to talk about just a few things that jump off the page for me, and then I'll leave it to the director to do the walkthrough and to get to some of the finer points. So everybody's favorite project has a minute to, well, not every project, but the majority of the sections at the very least, they have the opportunity to kind of learn a little bit about the work of the LCCMR and the members of the commission, which I think been a member since 2015, which predates your time there. But just briefly, $103 million in project spending. I have seen that number grow. I think in 2015 it was closer to about 50 plus million. So the trust is growing. And the dollars available continue to grow, which is good news for a lot of projects that need funding across the state. I am going to mention a couple of my favorites. One of them might surprise a few members, but the longer I talk, the less it will be surprising. One of them that I'm excited to see is in Section 9, I believe. Yeah. It's the Chester Bowl project. Really a neat example of the LCCMR and a project that people that regionally you might not think would have potentially or be potentially impacted are. And my family's one of them. The Chester Bowl Park has, or Chester Park has, a ski chalet there and lifts and such, and they have a really good reciprocity agreement with other facilities around the state, and the LCCMR is working to help those folks in Duluth. So that's a really neat project that I wanted to mention, as well as generally, again, things that I typically really like to see supported, and glad that there's almost $20 million of spending in this subdivision in Section 9 here. A lot of cities being affected. Eden Prairie, a project, $500,000 being recommended. City of Battle Lake, not a huge project, but $148,000 project. Olmsted County, Dakota County, a couple of projects. Otter Tail, Chaska, Trails. Improvements to park facilities. There's also some really important research. And members, you might remember, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about CWD and trying to get funding for what is now RTQIC and how important that was, an emerging issue. You know, currently, I think you could argue, I mean, 5 years or thereabouts, this
ongoing discussion over PFAS. And if you have the bill in front of you, I'm mentioning a project on page 63, so 63, line 63.30, enabling nature to destroy environmental PFAS contaminants, a research project. There's actually a number of projects going after PFAS and microplastic contaminants in that section. Another, I think, really important discussion that we're having because of this recommendation is road salt pollution and surface waters protected in groundwater. That's on page 65. There again, another University of Minnesota project, and love to see the work that the university has done in the past and continues to do for the people of Minnesota, and you know, potentially very impactful. You might remember years ago it was the taconite pellet, and who knows, this project could turn out to be that impactful. You just hope that some solutions are found in those categories. So I'm going to leave my comments there, and Director Nash, if you would like to begin your presentation after I suppose the chair would suggest that.
Thank you for being here, Director Nash. Would you please identify yourself for the committee and give your presentation?
Good afternoon, committee. My name is Becca Nash. I'm the director of the LCCMR, and I am here with my colleague, Mike Campana, assistant director. And we are happy to speak today to House File 1218 that contains the LCCMR's annual recommendations for spending from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. So I'll just provide a brief recap of the LCCMR, the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, the process that LCCMR followed to bring to you these recommendations today, and then we'll just do a quick walkthrough of the bill and then be available for questions. So first of all, the LCCMR is a 17-member joint commission that is responsible for making recommendations to the legislature for special environmental projects, primarily from the constitutionally dedicated Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The LCCMR is also responsible for conducting oversight of those approved projects and their associated expenditures. The LCCMR, as I said, is made up of 17 members, including 5 senators, 5 representatives, and 7 citizens. And then similar to how your committee is assisted by nonpartisan staff, the LCCMR is also assisted by nonpartisan staff, including Mr. Campana and me. The Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, or we call it ENRTF for short, is a permanent fund in the state treasury that was created by voters through a constitutional amendment to support activities that protect, conserve, preserve, and enhance Minnesota's air, water, land, fish, wildlife, and other natural resources. It's funded with 40% of the annual proceeds from the Minnesota State Lottery, as well as income from investments that are managed by the State Board of Investment. The trust fund is operated similar to an endowment in that a percentage of the value of the fund can be drawn down each year and appropriated to environmental projects. The amount that has been drawn down and recommended for spending by the LCCMR has traditionally been 5.5%. However, the constitutional amendment that was passed by voters of Minnesota in November of 2024 increased the amount of that drawdown from 5.5% up to 7%. And that additional 1.5% will go directly from the legislature to the Department of Natural Resources for a new community grants program. And that will be managed by the DNR separate from the LCCMR. So the bill that's before you today does not include the community grants program funding and only includes the 5.5% that LCCMR is responsible for recommending. The LCCMR's typical process for developing the recommendations comes from a multi-stage competitive process. It starts out with a publication of our request for proposals that includes the commission's funding priorities as identified in our statutorily required 6-year strategic plan. We receive applications in response to the RFP from all kinds of entities all across the state. It can be local, regional units of government, nonprofit organizations, for-profit organizations, educational entities, state, and even at times federal agencies. The proposals are reviewed and evaluated by our members. Members hear presentations, and then eventually research projects undergo additional external scientific peer review. The top proposals are selected and put into bill form, and they have to be voted on by the commission and passed with at least 11 of the 17 members in order to become the formal recommendations to you, the legislature. For this year's process, as Representative Heinzman said, we had $103,326,000 for appropriation. We received 214 proposals requesting a total of approximately $183 million. And following 40 hours of presentations by the applicants and multiple rounds of scoring by our members, 124 proposals were selected by the commission for funding recommendation. And then those recommendations were approved in bill form by the commission in December. Those recommendations that are before you today also include changes to and carry forwards of a previous year's appropriations. And those are just not new money, but again, extensions of prior appropriations. We provided some handouts in your packets as well, in addition to the list of the LCCMR members. And note you'll see Representative Heinzman as well as Representative Hansen, who's currently our LCCMR co-chair. We provide some pie charts showing how the projects in the bill break out according to the funding priorities that are in the LCCMR's RFP. We also show how the appropriations break down according to proposer affiliation. And then we also show how proposers considered the impact of their projects, whether they were sort of metro impact or greater Minnesota regional, a combination, or projects that have statewide impact. There's also a land acquisition map and table showing the acres and dollar amounts of proposed acquisitions. And then lastly, there's a spreadsheet in your packet that lists out all the appropriations in the bill according to subdivision, which correlates to the funding priorities from our RFP. There are 124 appropriations in the bill. We won't have time to walk through them all, and Representative Heinzman gave a great look at some of the specific highlights of the bill. But I suggest you use this spreadsheet and follow along while I just give a very, very high-level summary of how many projects and how much money is in each of these categories in the bill. And you can just scan down and take a look at what kind of projects are included in each of those categories. So the first subdivision is called Foundational Natural Resources Data and Information. This subdivision includes $22.084 million for 36 appropriations. And the projects that fall under this category primarily involve collection, analysis, mapping, and dissemination of foundational data and information needed for conservation planning and decision making. Subdivision 4 is water resources. These include research and demonstration projects, as well as development of new techniques and technologies to improve the protection of the quality and quantity of our water resources. There are $11.812 million for 23 appropriations in this subdivision. Subdivision 5 is environmental education. This category includes outdoor experiences, hands-on youth education, and natural resources training. There are $11.965 million for 19 appropriations in the subdivision. Subdivision 6 is aquatic and terrestrial invasive species. This category is for prevention, risk reduction, development, or demonstration of alternative control techniques, in particular biocontrol and reduction of non-target impacts. This is not, importantly, this is not for ongoing management of invasive species. This category includes $6.713 million for 2 appropriations. Subdivision 7 is air quality, climate change, and renewable energy. This category includes improvements to air quality, climate change mitigation and adaptation, greenhouse gas reductions, renewable energy, and energy efficiencies. There is $11.744 million for 7 appropriations in this category. Subdivision 8 is methods to protect and restore land, water, and habitat. This category includes innovations in the ways we go about protecting or restoring our natural resources. And this includes $12.188 million for 19 appropriations. Subdivision 9 is land acquisition, habitat, and recreation and includes $19.553 million for 14 appropriations. These are efforts to enhance habitat connectivity, benefit water quality, improve access for management, and increase public access for recreation, particularly in areas of the state with limited public land. Subdivision 10 is administration and emerging issues and contract reimbursement. This is $7.267 million for four appropriations. This is for fiscal management and reimbursements for LCC for ENRTF-funded projects going to non-state entities. We do that with the help from the DNR's grant unit. This also includes emerging issues, LCCMAR administration, and the legacy website, LCCMAR's portion of the legacy website that's required by law. And that is it for the appropriations in the bill. Quickly, just a couple more sections. Subdivisions 11 through 16 are conditions of funding that typically get included every year in our bill. Subdivision 17 includes those funding carry forwards, as I mentioned at the top. Again, these are just for one reason or another need a little extra time to complete their projects. No new money is being appropriated. Sections 3 and 4 are the technical changes to prior appropriations. This is the underlined language that starts on page 47 and continues to the end of the bill. There are just two projects that are affected. And, Chair, that concludes my walkthrough.
Thank you, Director Nash. We can proceed to member questions if there's no one in the audience who wants to testify as well. If not, we'll take member questions. Representative Vanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Heinzman. So the previous bill was called Keep It Clean. So my question is, does this bill, after it leaves here, stay clean?
Representative Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for the question. And the bill is on its way to Ways and Means. And there have been no conversations with any of the members of the Ways and Means Committee as to what its future might be. So I really can't speak entirely to that, but I can tell you that for the record.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so if there were changes, this would be the committee of jurisdiction, and we're moving it out of here today. Is that correct?
Chair Heinzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative Hansen, we kind of went through this the last meeting of this committee that I had a bill that was important to a lot of members on your side of the aisle, and I appreciate the line of questioning, but I'm just going to continue to point out that it's on its way to Ways and Means, and I think that we all understand exactly how important this bill is, and we're working towards getting this bill to the floor. I'm not discussing and don't plan on discussing any changes to this bill with members of the Ways and Means Committee, but that's the path.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe to Ms. Nash again, back on the votes, this had broad bipartisan support. You know, I think it's a good bill. It's a good compromise we worked on there, but just Ms. Nash, if you could maybe highlight, I think there was maybe one or two votes against it in the LCCMAR.
Chair Hansman. Or Director Nash. Yeah, right.
Mr. Chair, I can give you that information. Yeah, we have, as I mentioned, the package requires 11 of the 17 members to vote in favor of passing the bill. There's a provision in statute that, depending on the kind of conflict of interest that a member would have, they have to refrain from voting on it, and that minimum threshold is reduced by the number of people with that conflict. And so we only needed 9 in this case because we had 2 people with a conflict of interest, and we received 11, and there were only 2 no's.
Thank you. Representative Hansen. Anyone else with a question? No other questions from the community? Chair Hansen, do you want to wrap things up, or are you?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have a couple last observations and things I wanted to mention in my opening that I didn't mention for those that do track acquisition fee title. Director Nash touched on it, but I thought I would just give some specifics so those that may be looking for that don't have to inquire. So on the land acquisition issue, there is 100 acres for local parks, trails, and Natural Areas grant program, 90 acres for SNAs, and 5.7 acres for the Chaska Big Woods project, or Big Woods project. Thank you. So just wanted to quickly, like I said, mention that and thank Director Nash and your team for the work that you do. It's a lot of behind the scenes work and effort that goes into, I think we heard 40 hours of public discussion on the projects that are being proposed, and countless hours beyond that working with proposers. And I don't know if it's unusual. I have taken advantage of the time of the staff at the LCCMR many, many occasions asking if Director Nash or your team would help with a constituent who has questions. And I'm sure that can be challenging at times, but that's why I wanted to make sure that I gave recognition to those that are working so hard to get the bill before us. And I'd also finish by mentioning there have been times when this bill has come before this committee and it did not have the number of votes necessary to be recommended. It was good that we did have as much support as we had in this cycle and that the support was there. So I will wrap there, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for hearing the bill today.
All right. Thank you, Chair Heintzman. So Chair Heintzman renews his motion that House File 1218 be recommended to be referred to Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Motion carries. So members, that concludes today's agenda. And with that, we are adjourned.